to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Now, I could have been mean, told you to turn to what I told you last week. That's Romans chapter 15. How many remember what I even preached on last Sunday? Well, a couple of you do. Probably got it wrote down in your Bible looking at it. But I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and the love of the Holy Spirit. We know about the love of the Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life or everlasting life. You know about the love of the Son. He loved you enough to die for you on that cross, shed His blood. Not many people ever think about the love of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul, and I want to talk to you about that. People today think of the Holy Spirit as some influence, power that they're seeking after. They want the power of the Holy Spirit. And they think about Him as an influence. Well, the Holy Spirit is a person. And so that's something you need to keep in mind. In fact, before we read in Romans chapter 15, just turn over to 2 Corinthians and look in chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And notice what he says there about the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, notice in verse, and he's talking about the law, verse 15, but even unto this day when Moses is read, and that would be the law, the veil is upon their heart, Israel's heart, that new covenant back there. He said, nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that what? Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, is the Lord that Spirit? That's what it says, isn't it? So you can't separate the Lord from the Holy Spirit. And so He is the one. He's God. Just like Jesus Christ is God, so is the Holy Spirit. Just like God the Father's God, so is the Holy Spirit. And so look in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and here's my text verse that I want to read in verse 30. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And so I want to talk to you again about the love of the Spirit. And He is called the Spirit of Truth. We saw that in John chapter 14 last week. He's given us a Bible that we can trust. He's the author of this Bible. In fact, look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll just, I'm not going to go over all this. We went over part of this. But just to review, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, you'll find in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Spirit, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Then all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That word inspiration is God-breathed. The words that come out of God's mouth was penned down You'll find that also in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, notice how these two will tie together. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So when did they speak? When they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God breathed inspiration, inspired them, and they would speak it, and they would write it down in a book. And I don't have time to go through that, but you can run the references. You'll find that in Jeremiah. You'll find that in Isaiah, where God told them to write it down and put it in a book. And so God preserved His Word. In fact, look back in Psalms. In Psalms chapter 12. And notice how David says about it. Psalm chapter 12. The Holy Spirit gave you a Bible. You know what the word Bible is? It's a collection of books. That's what it means. And there are 66 books in a King James Bible. And God Almighty preserved His Word in that Bible, in that collection of 66 books. Now, this Bible does not contain the Word of God. This Bible is the Word of God. And every word that's wrote in this Bible is God-breathed. God spake it. And God had men to pin them words down, and they pinned them down, and He preserved it. Look in Psalm chapter 12. In Psalms chapter 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You want to know something? You have Martin Luther, you have the Geneva Bible, you have the Bishop's Bible, and it comes right down to you get the King James. You know how many times they went through it? Seven times. People say, well, it's been revived. The spelling has been revived. In old Elizabethan English, they didn't spell like they do today. They'd have double E's, they'd have a V for a C, and things like that. You ever take an old 1611, you try to read it? I was looking at one the other day, and I was looking at that, and I seen how that it was spelled, the spelling was. That's the only thing they corrected. The words are the same. Seven times. Now look what He said. He said in Psalms, thy words are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Who's going to keep them? The Lord. You reckon He's ever lost one of them? He said, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou, the Lord, shall preserve them from this generation forever. Look in Psalms 138. Psalms 138. In Psalms 138. You want to see what He thinks about His Word? Psalms 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Do you think God don't think something of this book? Do you know what makes up the Word of God? the words of God. Let's try one more, then we're going to move on. Look, what I'll tell you what, go back to Nehemiah. Notice in Nehemiah, let's see, verse 9:3. And they stood up in their place. Talk reference to Ezra, Nehemiah now. Chapter 9, verse 3. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God, one fourth part of the day, and another fourth part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Now, how would you like to have a service like that today? You know, it's hard to get people here for an hour and a half once a week. Now, but that ain't all. Come down to verse 5. He names the Levites, Yeshua, and them. Look in the middle of the verse. Stand up. Bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. And he said that his word he magnified above his name, and here's how high he put his name. Folks, I'm telling you, God thinks something of this Bible. Now, the religious system don't think nothing of it. The churches don't think nothing of it. The majority of people don't think nothing of it. You have a bunch of Bible correctors behind the pulpit think that they're smarter than God and that, oh, that's a mistranslation. Oh, well, a better translation should be thus and thus. I mean, and all that. I mean, they don't know who they're fooling with. This is God's book. And it was penned by men as the Holy Spirit moved upon them, and he has exalted it above his name, and he said that he's given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of the God the Father. And yet you have a Bible that's in your lap, you've got a King James Bible, that God holds more dear to him than his name. Now, if God wrote this book, and he did, and if God Almighty preserved it, and he did, and he wrote it and had it translated into sixth grade English, and he did, and he preserved his word, then why don't we think more of it? Why, some of you would rather read life than you would the Bible, wouldn't you? Amen. The Holy Spirit. He's the author of this book. He gave you a book that you can trust. He also convinced me and you, if you're saved, that you need a Savior. John 16. Then he sent somebody by to preach to you. Romans 10:15. How shall they preach except they be sent? God sends preachers. Aren't you glad he sent somebody by one day to tell you what Christ did for you? Aren't you glad that the gospel was preached to you? I mean, folks, you think about, I get amazed at people that think that it's too easy. Well, why would God Almighty put his son through what he put him through? I mean, had he beat to a pulp, turned him over to the Gentiles, they pulled his beard out, they tied him to a post, I'm talking about the Son of God, and they stretched his skin on his back tight, and then they took a cat of nine tails, a whip, that had bone and metal tied in the end of them straps that was there, and they whipped him, and the Bible says you could see his inwards, you could see his parts of his body in there. They tore hunks of meat out of him, and then they took him down from there, and they nailed him to a cross, and they hung him up between heaven and earth on a cross, and cursed be he that hangs on a tree, and he was made a curse for you, and died for you, shed his blood for you, and God done all of that so he could save you, and you think you're going to get to heaven some other way? You got to be kidding me. My land, what in the world is this world thinking about that they think that what they do is more important than what Jesus Christ did for them? My sins has been paid for. I will never be judged for my sins. Why? He was judged in my behalf. He bore the wrath of Almighty God. You ever think about eternal life? I think about it. I'm going to think with me about it. Eternal life. If you're saved, you have it. I think about life being blue, don't you? Carolina blue skies. You know that thing comes out here. Starts out there in eternity past. No beginning. No end. Comes over here. It comes down. And if something happens, there's a break. Son of Man. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And on that cross, he was made sin. On that cross, he said in Psalm 22, I'm a worm and no man. In John 3:14, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that serpent of brass that Moses made back there, and the children of Israel was being bit by serpents, and they was crying and dying, and they cried out, and God told Moses, said, make a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and he that looketh to that serpent of brass shall live. Do you know what that is? Listen, every one of you's been bit by the sin of Satan, and he's the great servant. You're something wrong with your your blood. You have a nature about you that's against God. And every one of us is condemned to die. And we have death running in our veins. And the only way we can have this life is to look to the serpent that became what we are on that cross. And once we look to that and trust that, we have eternal life just like He did. Thank God for the cross. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you don't have to have so much money to get saved? Aren't you glad you don't have to be good looking? Somebody say amen to that. I say amen to that. I wouldn't have a prayer. Aren't you glad you don't have to live up to certain standards that man places on you? What is eternal life? It's looking to the pole. Where's the pole? It's at Calvary. You know what He said in Psalm 22? He said, "My God, my God." He didn't say, "Father." He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" Right there, that eternal life was broken. They put Him in a tomb down there, that body of sins. But you know, on the third day, comes back up. And there it is. Do you know where the eternal life is? Jesus Christ. Look with me again. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. I wasn't intending on doing this, but look what he says in chapter 6. In verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. "Which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath..." What's that next word? Would that be considered eternal life? "Who only hath..." Now who... who is the only one that has immortality? Amen. Jesus Christ, the Lord. "Who only hath immortality dwelling in the light," which in John 5:20 tells you that God is a light. He's dwelling in the Father. "In the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting." Amen. Jesus Christ is the only one that has immortality. Well, how do I get that? By being in Him. I was in Adam back here. I was born in Adam. Adam back here. There ain't no way that I can get out of Adam. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice in verse 45. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, Adam. And afterward, that which is spiritual. For the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly," our old bodies now, "we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." We'll be conformed to that. Look back in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, notice what he said. In verse 12, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned in Adam." Notice down in verse 17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation." You're condemned. Why? Through Adam. You're in Adam. "Even so, the righteousness of one is a free gift, came upon all men under justification of life. For as by the one man's disobedience, Adam, in the garden, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, second Adam, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteousness. Moreover, the law entered that the offense of Adam might abound. But where sin abounded, through Adam, grace did much more abound, through Jesus Christ. And that as sin has reigned unto death, through Adam, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Now the key of the thing is back in verse 11. "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." You find you have to receive, verse 17, "much more they which receive." You'll find that you're in Adam, and the only thing you got is you got to receive something. How are you going to get in Christ? "I have Jesus Christ over here. I have Christ. He has the only one that has eternal life. He's the only one that has it. Back here, you have Adam. You have eternal death. You have the second death. The fire is where you're headed. You have judgment back here. You're judged back here. You have condemnation back here. You're condemned back here. And everything in Adam. Why? You're in Adam. You have a nature about you. Yeah, you have a carnal nature about you. You don't want to. You're an enemy to God in your own mind. You're a sinner by birth. You're a sinner by practice. You're a sinner by choice. You are a sinner. You can't get around that. Nobody in this building is exempt from being in Adam. You know how I know that? Death. There is no perfection back here. They that are in the flesh, look back in Romans 8. Romans 8. Look what he says in verse 8. Verse 8 says, Romans 8, 8, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot what? Please God." Well, what's it being in the flesh? Adam. Well, how in the world am I going to get out of Adam? I'm in this body of death. Look in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, here's a man that's been saved 25 years, and look what he says about himself. The greatest Christian that ever walked in shoe leather is talking right now. Look what he said about himself. You understand? Paul is the greatest Christian that ever lived. Bar none. And look what he said, verse 24. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Look back in verse 17. "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Look in verse 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin." Look down in verse 18. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Now, verse 20, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That old body of sin, that old nature that he got from Adam, the old wretched man that he was. You are a wretched, old, sinful, cussed, no count. It doesn't matter. Listen to me. I believe in the power of negative thinking. All you hear today is how to be a better you. There is no better you outside of Christ. It's only in Christ that you're better. And then you're no better, you're just better off. Paul talks about this. He said in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Two men about you. Two natures about you. Look what he said in verse 23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin which is in my members, in my body. My body does not want to serve the Lord. You know what my body wanted to do this morning? It wanted to stay in that warm bed. The bed's always warmer on Sunday morning than any other morning of the week. It doesn't want to get up. Doesn't want to get up and take a shower and get ready to come up here. He'd rather stay at home. The old man doesn't want me to get down on my knees and pray and talk to the Lord of heaven. He doesn't want me to go in there and read my Bible daily and study this Bible so that I have something to preach. No. You want to see about the old man? Look over in 1 Corinthians. I might have told you wrong. 2 Corinthians, sorry. Look in chapter... let's see. Chapter 4. Verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish... Your outward man's perishing. Why? Why is that? Why is that, preacher? Because of this. You can't get around it. You think I was born with gray hair and falling out? There was a time in my life when my hair was dark. And I had plenty of it. I still got plenty. It's just sinking down through my scalp and coming out at other places. But it ain't always been that way. My body's deteriorating. I'm perishing. Don't you understand? I look in the mirror and I say, oh, Lord. And you see all these programs and people spending millions of dollars to keep their body from perishing. Not going to happen. You can have all the facelifts you want. You can use that cream. It tightens up everything. You can dye your hair. You're still perishing. That old man. Yet the inward man, a different man, verse 16, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not after the things which are seen, but after the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. That's the body. He's talking about the perishing of the old man. It's temporal. But the things which are not seen is eternal. That's the inward man. You don't see the inward man. But look what he goes on. For, connecting the two thoughts together. For, we know that if our earthly house, the flesh of this tabernacle, were dissolved, we would have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this, the building, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, the body, the flesh, do groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed or in death, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for this self same thing is God, who hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. That down payment of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. God gave you that Holy Spirit in you as assurance that someday you're going to have a new house. The love of the Spirit. I'm glad that He saved me and sealed me. I want to just deliver. Turn with me and look at this thing. Back here, Adam, how am I going to get over here? Well, I got to go through the cross. Look in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The Holy Spirit's given us a Bible we can trust. He's convincing us that we're sinners because we're in Adam. We need a Savior. We need a sacrifice. Our sins must be paid for. God's a holy and righteous God. God cannot allow sin to go unpunished. So what did He do? You can't pay for your sins. Your blood's contaminated. Your blood is something wrong with it. Your blood will not cover nothing. Your death, if you died for your sins, it'd take an eternity to pay back for the offenses that you have done to the Lord. So what did He do? Jesus Christ, in 6 hours and 3 days and 3 nights, paid back for what it'll take an eternity for you to pay. And He done it for you. And He sent somebody by to preach to you of that good news that you don't have to pay it back. It's paid back for you. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. Now I want to tell you how easy it is to get from Adam to Christ. You receive something. What is it, preacher, that I receive? You receive the atonement. You receive what the Lord done for you as a free gift. No water, no walking the aisle, no praying through. No hanging on, holding out. It's all been done. All you got to do is receive it. Receive Him. He's got the immortality. He's got the life. You want life? Receive Christ and what He did for you on the cross. Believing that He died for me. He died for me. I know you didn't say it. I believe it. I believe He's died for my sins. I accept that. That's my salvation. That's what I'm going to put my trust in. And if I die and go to hell, then what else can I do? There's nothing I can give to God. What can I offer to God that will be better than what He offered for me? Nothing. Folks, you ain't got a choice. It has nothing to do with you trying to work for your salvation. It has nothing to do with you joining anything. It has something to do with you receiving what the Lord done for you. God will save every sinner in this building if they just receive it. Right now. In your heart, right now. I receive it. I believe He died for me. And I'm going to trust that. I'm going to trust that. February the 14th, 2010, sitting in Charity Bible Church, sitting on the pew on the left or the right side, front or back. It don't matter. Lord, right now, I receive You and Your sacrifice. I'm trusting that as my salvation. You know what you're going to have? I'm going to show you. No, I tell you what, I told you Romans, look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, a reference, he's talking about the body of Christ, but he's comparing it to the human body. He says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized," and that's not water, that's as dry as the Sahara Desert. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized in the one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Just go over a couple books. Galatians chapter 3. And notice in where he says in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ." Well, folks, that's not water baptism, that's spiritual baptism. He said, "There is neither Jew," verse 28, "there is neither Jew in Christ now, there is neither Jew or Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." You know what happens when you receive the atonement? God Almighty identifies you in the death, the burial, the resurrection of His Son. He places you into Christ. He puts you into Christ. And in Christ, there is now no condemnation over here. Jesus Christ was condemned for you. There's no judgment over here. Jesus Christ was judged for you. There's no death over here. You have life in Christ Jesus. I mean, folks, right down the line. There's no sin over here, no unrighteousness. You have the righteousness of Christ. If God sees you in Christ, when you trust His Son as your Savior, He baptizes you into the Holy Spirit, puts you into that body of Christ, and God sees you as He sees Christ. Now tell me something. God can't look at Jesus Christ if there's a fault about Jesus Christ. Now can He? If Jesus Christ has got a flaw about Him, then He's not God. Well, that just knocks it out of the park, don't it? When He baptized you into Christ, are you flawed? No. You have His righteousness, His life. You receive Him. And you get in Him. And you have... Everybody that's in Him has His life through the Holy Spirit. Now that's my next point. Maybe next week we'll get to the sealing. you know what the sealing is? It's here. And you're sealed with that Holy Spirit. And He's sealed in you. And everybody that's over here, the Lord knows. He knoweth His own. Them back here, He don't know. Them is not in here, He knows. You want life? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved me. He sealed me. Man, next week we'll look at, Lord willing, that, the sealing. But I want you to know He also teaches us, which the Holy Ghost teaches. He maketh intercessions for us with prayers that we could never pray. The love of the Spirit. He's a comforter. You'll never walk in this world without Him. You'll never go nowhere without Him. You'll never have a thought that He doesn't know. You'll never have a word spoken out of your mouth that He doesn't hear. Every prayer you pray, He hears. Every thought you think, He knows. Nobody can be any closer to you than He is. Nobody. He's your present help in the time of trouble. He walks by your side. In your heart, your body. What a Savior we have. Shake hands with one another, and if you're lost,